Friends, wherever we are, let's pray for a moment. Father, we've posed that question, Mary, did you know? Did you know what Jesus would be like? And Father, we ask that you'd help us to open our eyes to that fullness of who Jesus is, of what he is like, and what he has done for us. Guide us this afternoon, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, friends, I have to admit, in thinking about today, I was expecting your top tips, top carols. And we've managed one out of four today, but never mind. It's still in that 12 days of Christmas, which is why we have the Magi's visit to Jesus. And indeed, we're getting close to the Epiphany, January the 6th, isn't it? When we properly recognize that visit of the Magi, the wise people, the wise men to Jesus. And I'm really conscious that we have a set of carols, a tradition, an understanding that says there were three wise men who brought three gifts. Actually, we don't know that they brought three gifts. That's all we know. We don't know how many there were. So think instead what it's like if you are not just wise, but possibly a king from a different country. You would travel, I think, with a security detail, with some lackeys to carry your luggage, with a cook or two to make you dinner, or three, or four perhaps, with some slaves to go off and organize things every now and again. This slow-moving camel, possibly centered entourage, makes its way across from the east to Jerusalem and appears at Herod's door. Presumably not kind of necessarily announced. Maybe they had sent a letter in advance. But whatever, when they got there, Herod was disturbed. Given what happened to him next, one might think he was generally disturbed, given, you know, oh, let's go and kill off all the baby boys under two. That feels quite a disturbed thing to do. But anyway, Herod was, whatever he was normally like, he was particularly disturbed by this massive, potentially massive, this entourage of wise people turning up at his door asking, where is the one that's been born king of the Jews? Now, the trouble is, if you're Herod, you were not born king of the Jews. You were made king of the Jews by the Romans. So there's a sense in which you rule because your enforcers allow you to. The army of occupation says you'll do, you can be in charge. So of course Herod, when he's heard that there's a legitimate one who is born king, not just made king, of course he's upset and uptight. And interestingly, his advisors, his wise men, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, they all know that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem because they've all read the prophecies. This one from Micah, that you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, by no means least, because out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. That's the prophecy they quoted. They knew. So how did the wise men know? Well, we're told it was a star. I suspect, and lots of people think, it wasn't so much a new star in the sky, but possibly three planets that aligned themselves to create one source of light for that period of time they needed it. Maybe. Who knows the reality? It's a bit like trying to say, oh no, Jonah's whale wasn't really a whale. He was just a fish made specially for the purpose. Well, it was, but you know what I mean? It's that sense of, okay, it's God. God's involved, and sometimes impossible things happen. But they knew that they understood the sign in the sky and were sufficiently confident in it that they travelled for days, weeks, months, perhaps, to make it to go and worship this king. The deprivation that they endured on this journey was potentially quite significant. Certainly their willingness to put themselves out to test out this theory was huge. And I'm left going, what about us then? Are we willing to put ourselves out for a chance of worshipping the true king? Even this afternoon when I was getting ready, I was looking out the window and thinking, it's raining, it's dark, it's cold. Can I be bothered? Oh yeah, I need to be bothered. I'm in charge. I've got to go. But you guys that are here, you've chosen to be bothered. Thank you. You guys at home, I appreciate. I'm not trying to say to you, you haven't been bothered. Maybe you've got COVID. Maybe the risks are too high for you. Maybe you didn't get transport. I understand. It's okay. Maybe you didn't even know it was on today and thought we were on last week. And you're watching out of sync, out of time on this. But how much are we bothered? How much are we willing to put ourselves out in order to meet with Jesus? In order, well, for the wise men, they came to the feet of Jesus, as it were. They bowed down and they worshipped. We can bow down and worship wherever we are. You know, of course, we can talk to Jesus wherever we are, whether we're in bed, cooking, walking, getting on the bus, whatever it might be. Wherever we are, we can talk to Jesus. And we have that tremendous privilege. But sometimes growing in Christ takes a bit of an effort, doesn't it? Because it's about growing new habits. And new habits are hard, aren't they? It's easy to stick with the habits you have. The let's get up, let's watch a bit of telly, let's whatever it might be. And actually developing new habits, new ways of perhaps putting ourselves out that we might worship God takes time and effort. And these guys, they brought gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. And I've often wondered, what happened to those gifts? And some of you will have, I guess, seen or heard, there's a Radio 4 set of three dramatizations as to what happened to those gifts, which of course is completely made out of somebody's head. But I think it might be worth listening to if you can get hold of it. Just go to iPlayer and Radio 4 and search something about the use of the gifts, how Mary and Joseph used the gifts. It's a play series. Sorry, I don't know the title. But gold, frankincense, myrrh. You know. Yeah, gold's useful. You can spend it on things. But would Mary and Joseph have spent it? What on? Frankincense, yeah, it hides the smell of dirty pooey nappies and all that if you burn it. But myrrh. Myrrh's all about embalming a body. And you're left wondering, was that saved by Mary? Was that one of those things that she treasured up, not just in our heart, but treasured up? That then got used 30-something years later. Was it perhaps the same myrrh that got used to embalm Jesus' body? Because there is no death without birth. And the reason we celebrate the birth of Jesus is because we know the ending and we know the fact that he died so that we might have life. So not just that, Mary, did you know that the one
that you gave birth to would save you, but actually we know that the one who died, died for us, saved us. So this new year, we start with the possibility of making 2022 different to 2021. Now, of course, it will be. COVID will be with us. Maybe it will mutate into something harmless. That's certainly my prayer. But, for example, even in January, there will be no breakaway because we don't want to risk the harm that might be caused by the short-term joy of socialising. That's hard, particularly in the middle of winter when there perhaps isn't much else to look forward to. But in the end, how we react partly depends on our understanding of God's love for us. How we choose to say, okay, God, I have a lively relationship with you. I want to grow in that relationship. Yes, ideally, I want to be with other people too, but I can phone them up. I can talk. And I can continue to grow those friendships. But in the meantime, I want to grow my relationship with you. I want to grow maturity. You could choose to read the whole Bible this year if you wanted to, start to end. There's Bible reading plans out there that would help you if you wanted to, but basically a couple of chapters a day and you'll be done. And obviously it gets a bit sticky in the middle of Leviticus, so you might want to split it up and do a bit of New and a bit of Old Testament as the days go by so that you get a variety. But it is doable to read. It is doable to take time to pray. It is doable to bring to God the issues of this world. It's what God calls us to. But his calling is also to be people who tell out this good news that God loves us. And so that calling, again, we come back to of how much are we willing to put ourselves out, yes, to worship God, but also to introduce others to God. If the Magi hadn't turned up, would Herod ever have really discovered? Would any of his lackeys have had the courage to say, there's been some rumours that there's a king born in Bethlehem? I don't think so. Given his reputation as a tyrant, as a kind of bite-your-head-off kind of guy, I think it would have only took the appearance of a delegation from a foreign land for Herod to get the message. They, by their actions, spread the word that Jesus was born. How, by our actions, are we going to help others to follow Jesus and to know his love for us?